Thank you for standing by and welcome to the USPP for full year numbers 2015. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday the 29th of March 2016. And I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Martin Schoutenveer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everyone in the US and afternoon to the London callers. Welcome here, Martin Schoutenveer on the call. Welcome to the, as introduced, the USPP call, Moscala's full year numbers 2015. With me here this afternoon, I've got Hans Kamps and Frank Rousseau. Carl Heinz, unfortunately, not joining us this afternoon. I think pretty much the drill you've got accustomed to. I'll be handing over to Hans in a minute. He will run through the presentation, which everyone has received earlier today. Following the call, we'll open up for any Q&A you have. The full call is being recorded, as indicated, and we will forward you the web link by email tomorrow afternoon. With that, Hans, I think I'd like to hand over to you.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Martijn. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for listening in and give us the opportunity to just tell you how 2015 was and tell you how we're currently looking at 2016. Look at 2015, and I'm on slide three now. Revenues last year slightly up versus the year before. The net profit lower than in 2014, but then we have to take into account that in 2014, as we announced that that year, we had quite substantial, far more than usual settlement results on a number of projects, amongst others, and most importantly, in Australia. That has been far less the case in 2015. That was a more usual year in that respect. And taking that into account, I think you can conclude that from an operational point of view, 2015 was even better than 2014. Why that is, I'll be explaining in a minute when we look at the various segments. EBITDA somewhat down versus 2014 in line with net profits. The results of the joint ventures down. When we discuss the segments, I'll give the individual reasons for that. Solvency slightly up. Will be very good for you people to see that we have a rock solid balance sheet, as we will see in a minute if we look at the governance. Less positive I can be about the order book. Order book has come down. Important factor there was the fact that we had the end of 2014 the Suez Canal project in the portfolio. Now the good news is that we performed well. I would say very well on that project last year. Was delivered within schedule. Has been financially almost completely settled with the client. Was a very good project. Therefore, also one of the important factors behind the good result in 2015. Unfortunately, we don't have a similar project in portfolio right now. And as will have escaped none of you, with the rougher climate in oil and gas and commodities, also for us counts as for many other players in sectors related to oil and gas and commodities, is that business has become more tough. Visibility less compared to 2014, and therefore a lower order book. A dividend is stable as over 2014. When we paid €1.60 also for 2015, we have proposed a dividend of €1.60. I'll skip slide four because that will just give the comparison numbers 2014. I'll go to five. Just to mention, as I already said, I think we can say we have a rock solid balance sheet with a net debt to EBITDA ratio of just 0.4. And an interest cover ratio of 27, so all would say well within the the covenants agreed with you and with the banking members of our syndicate. Order book, looking at the three divisions, order book in dredging came down substantially. To smaller extent is due to the fact that at the beginning of 2015, we have sold a company here in the Netherlands and in the inland infrastructure sector. So that order book has been taken out of the group's order book. And then the most important factor in dredging was, and already mentioned, the execution last year of the project Suez, which was in the order book end of 2014 for more than 300 million euros, has been executed, but as I already mentioned, has not been replaced by a similar project. Offshore energy, the order book is down. That has much to do with the fact that in oil and gas, the number of orders are less. The fact that at the end of 2014 we had the project South Stream in our order book, and as you may know, that is a project. It was a landing of a gas pipe from Russia, a landing in Bulgaria, that was cancelled, maybe replaced by a similar project in Turkey, for which we're well positioned. But not a lot of progress on that project will not be surprising given the current relationship between Russia and Turkey. And thirdly, with DockWise, we are running off the order book as we had it at the end of 2014. And again, with the current situation in oil and gas, we don't have a order intake at the extent as we're currently running off orders. The other hand, and I'll be discussing that in a couple of minutes when I discuss the latest transactions this year, we have been able in 2015 to win orders in the offshore wind sector, where we are different from what we see in commodities and oil and gas. Is a part of the offshore energy portfolio where we see the prospects and the opportunities in improving. Lastly, towage and salvage. Quite unusual at the end of 2014, we had two orders in the order backlog. It's quite a lumpy business. To have two larger projects in the order book is quite unusual. We're end of 2015, after the two projects we had in the order book have been successfully executed last year. We're now down to no major project at the end of 2015, so we're still at the average of one, but as at none at the end of 2015. I'll go to slide number 8, where you see the EBIT numbers. Won't be discussing them. I'll be discussing them when we discuss the separate segments, which I will do by discussing slides 9 and 10, dredging and inland infra. Also due to the project Suez, as I mentioned, but also due to a variety of other projects, we have accomplished and achieved very good occupation of the dredging equipment last year. That applies to the cutters, in particular caused by the project Suez, but more importantly than cutters, and I think I've said it several times in these calls already in the past, the hoppers are far more important than the cutters, around five times as important as the cutters. And we last year with the hoppers we had an excellent utilization of 43 weeks. Now, due to that, if I go back to slide number 9, we achieved a very solid, very good EBITDA and EBIT due to, on the one hand, the good utilization, as just mentioned. Secondly, due to the Suez project. And thirdly, to a variety of other projects where, in general, we had good results on the projects. That nevertheless, those factors, it is It was substantially lower than in 2014, is, as I mentioned at the beginning, due to the fact that in 2014 the result was very heavily impacted by the settlement of older contracts. If you would correct for that, 2015 has certainly been at a similar level operationally, if not better than, actually it was better than in 2014. A few words on the Dutch inland infra business, which is about 400 million of the 1.7 is Dutch inland infra. As some of you that have invested in Dutch infra businesses may know, not a particular good sector the last couple of years. We have our challenges on some of these projects, but in total we've had a profitable year with a substantially positive margin, therefore a positive contribution to the result of this segment. That's what I think I would want to say on dredging. Offshore energy, I think an exceptionally good result if you take into account the vastly deteriorated market conditions for oil and gas. That has to do with the fact that, we still had, under these market circumstances, a good vessel utilization, the most important category being the heavy marine transport vessels, the dockwise vessels, slightly lower than 2014. But then you have to take into account that also we had a new vessel, the White Marlin, delivered at the beginning of 2015. So with a larger capacity, we've had a slightly lower vessel utilization. That is due, as I just mentioned, to the fact that we have started this period, 2013, already with a very solid order book for heavy marine transport, with, for instance, a project as Wheatstone in Australia, where we do the transportation and the deliveries of all the modules for the Wheatstone LNG plant in Australia, taking care of a very good base utilization for the HMT equipment. Now, as I already mentioned, we are running off that that order book. Are unfortunately not able to replace that work with to the full extent with new work in heavy marine transport. But still, we're carrying a good base load for 2016 and even to some extent for 2017. Other parts of that business, we are more immediately hit by the situation in oil and gas. An example of that is our subsea services, in particular the subsea services in the North Sea. I think still, if you look at what results there are with a lot of the players, 2015 actually for us hasn't been even that bad, which also has to do with the fact that we are, with the breadth we have as an organization, also able to employ equipment that works in markets that are relatively hard hit by the situation in oil and gas in some of our other activities. And I already mentioned, it is not all bad news when we discuss oil and gas and commodities. A relatively very promising segment of that market is the offshore wind market on the one hand, and also decommissioning. So it's the removal of old platforms that are no longer being used or simply become uneconomic for the oil and gas company. In particular, applies on the North Sea. As you may know, a lot of the now older platforms will have to be removed, which also for us. And we had a few smaller still, but good examples of those type of projects in 2015. Then lastly, towage and salvage. Towage, the only fully owned businesses there are the towage operations in the Netherlands, small operation in the UK, and a substantial operation in Belgium. We're now in the final stages of transferring those businesses into a joint venture with another Dutch company over here. And when we have done that, Towage will be completely in joint ventures. If you look at the revenue numbers here, slightly up versus 2014. That is actually stable revenues for the operations I just mentioned. You have to take into account that in 2014, we still had for half a year our towage operations in the southern and the northern Americas, which we have transferred mid of 2014 into a joint venture with the company SAM from Chile. Actually, if you would correct for that, the bottom line is revenues and also results for towage are stable, and results for salvage have been up in 2015. Because salvage, I already mentioned, we had two large wreck removal contracts in portfolio that we executed in 2015 that we executed successfully. And therefore a very satisfactory result for salvage. The results in joint ventures and associates has come slightly down. Actually, it's even worse if you see it here because of the same factor that I mentioned, that in 2014 we had only half a year our share in the results of the joint ventures in Southern and Northern America. If you would correct for that, you would have expected a substantially better result in 2015. That it has come down has two factors. A, our joint venture Smit-Lamnalco, which is also quite reliant on oil and gas and commodities, have also had a challenging year with delays of new contracts and no renewal of existing contracts, with a relatively slow spot market, certainly in some areas in Africa, and secondly, in our towage joint venture in Singapore, we have taken some impairments on operations outside the area of joint venture, but that we do through the joint venture in Singapore. But that is very much a one-off. Order book is here quite limited because in towage we don't have an order book, and in salvage we do, as I just mentioned, but that order book at 2015 was almost empty. We're just waiting for the next casualty on sea. Then briefly going to holding and eliminations, where we mainly have the corporate headquarter costs that are not allocated to the divisions, where we have some incidental expenses that are not allocated to the divisions, and where we have our share in the results of Fugro. With respect to the last one, as you see mentioned here, in 2015 we've had our share in the loss of Fugro of 3 million. Those of you that have an involvement with Fugro and that follow Fugro may have noticed that Fugro announced a very substantial loss in 2015. The fact that our share in that loss is only rather minimal is due to the fact that under IFRS rules, we have had to apply our own valuation on the interest in Fugro, and based on that valuation, where we do not recognize obviously the goodwill that Fugro carries on its balance sheet with respect to past acquisitions, where we did already last year a revaluation of Subsea, which Fugro did at the end of 2015. Therefore, the results, according to IFRS for us, are different from those that Fugro reports. Secondly, as you may remember from our half-year call, at that time we had a revaluation gain on the Fugro stake, since that stake was reclassified from a financial instrument to a strategic stake, the so-called associated company, based on the developments in oil and gas, based on Fugro's stock price development in the second half of last year and the beginning of this year. We've carried out an impairment test, and on the basis of that impairment test, we have concluded that that paper revaluation gain of the first half half year, that we have cancelled that one in the second half of the year. Then briefly going to the balance sheet, don't have much to add to my earlier comment, but I think you can say that we have a rock solid balance sheet. The only, I think, really noteworthy point is that you see the second line item, intangibles and other fixed assets, coming down, whereas you see the investments in the associated companies going up, and that has all to do with, as I just mentioned, the fact that at the beginning of 2015, we have reclassified our investment in Fugro from a financial instrument that was included end of 2014 in the second line, and have now classified it as an associated company. And in addition to the interest we had at the end of 2014, we have increased that share in Fugro to slightly under 30%, almost 29% at the end of 2015. Well, slide number 16 just summarizes the development of our cash flow. So very substantial good cash flow, slightly down versus 2014. But I already mentioned the particular issue in 2014. So look at slide 17, capital expenditure. You see that our capital expenditure is well within that amount of cash flow, and you've seen that amount coming down versus 2014. We have only, I would say, one major and one not even so substantial, but capital expenditure projects going on in dredging. No major capital expenditure projects going on in offshore energy, and that is also the background for a substantially lower level of capex in 2015 compared to 2014. Summary of the cash flow on slide 18. Maybe only one thing to mention: if you look at the line working capital, you can see that only we had. A slight cash in due to working capital, so you can also conclude from that, as I already mentioned, the result 2015 in particular operationally was quite strong and didn't even absorb any substantial amounts in working capital. And then you see, as we just mentioned, capital expenditure of slightly over 200 million on a net basis. And as I already mentioned, the investment in the increase in our interest in Fugro, that was actually around 147 million euros. But then we had a divestment proceeds of the company that I mentioned at the beginning, the one here in Holland in infrastructure, De Jong, which provided us with a cash inflow of around 30 million. And then we had a dividend paid last year. I already mentioned 1.6. Consistent with our policy, we gave shareholders the choice to go for a stock dividend or a cash dividend. As in the previous years, around three quarters of our shareholders elected to go for stock, and therefore only a quarter of our dividend was paid out in cash. Slide 19, just for your information. The maturity schedule of our facilities. Will not give any further comments on that. Maybe briefly on slide 21, recent transactions we're working on. As we have announced the end of last year, we have acquired the dredging activities of the Strabach Construction Group from Austria, Germany. providing us with a few important assets that will also enable us to keep the capex on a lower level going forward, but because it enables us to replace some of the vessels from our fleet that in the foreseeable future we would have to replace relatively small vessels, but instead of building vessels, this transaction has enabled us to buy two existing vessels and to take an important competitor in Germany out of the market. Secondly, as I already mentioned, we see very good market prospects for at least the next five, six, 7 years on offshore wind, particularly here in northwestern Europe. We are already active in that market through our joint venture FiBMS together with Volker Vessels, two wind projects as I mentioned that we're currently executing together with Volker Vessels. For Volker Vessels, this is not a real core activity. Volker Vessels is a real construction infrastructure company working in the Netherlands, far less active offshore. For us, it is more of a core activity. We're also the party providing most of the equipment for these type of activities, and hence we have agreed with Volker Vessels to buy them out and to make this a full 100% Boskalis owned activities. We're also doing some divestments. We are in the process of divesting ourselves of our 70% stake in Smit Amantla Marine, which is the bulk of our activities in southern Africa. A bunch of portfolio of miscellaneous maritime services. We have announced that transaction. Do expect that transaction to close sometime this summer. And fourthly, as already discussed in previous calls and earlier in this call, we're also now in the concluding stage of transferring our northwestern European towage activities into the joint venture with Koter. We're combining that with a complete refinancing of that operation, and at the same time we close the operation, we will also complete the refinancing of the operation, which will provide us with a cash inflow of around 90 million euros. Then finally, the outlook 2016. I already mentioned it a couple of times. Yes, we face market weakness due to low oil and commodity prices. So businesses dependent on that. We will definitely see them in more difficult waters. And we have seen those activities looking at the numbers in the last couple of years. On the other hand, as I already mentioned, we see good opportunities offshore in the offshore wind market. The backlog is lower than we would like to see it, but still provides us with a reasonable coverage for 2016 in dredging and offshore. We need more work, but there are still good opportunities out there, but it is more of a challenge for 2016 than we were used to in previous year. That's also the reason why we have started with some actions in the areas of fleet rationalization and cost reduction, in particular on the dredging side already at the end of last year, and some costs have been taken in the results of 2015. We have identified a number of relatively smaller and older vessels that we will put out of operation, and therefore, of course, also the people, the crews we use for those vessels. And all in all, for 2016, on that basis, we anticipate, and as you know, at this point in time, we never give any firm indications with the respect for the current year, but what we can say that it will be substantially lower than a very strong 2015, And as I already mentioned, you saw 2016 capex is at a substantially lower level than the years previous. Also for 2016, we anticipate a capex level of 200 million. Still, a substantial part of that is the two ongoing projects that I mentioned, which is the Mega Cutter and a Mega Beckau. But 2016 will also be the last year where we will have a very substantial capex number related to those two investments that in the course of 2016 with respect to the Beckau and 2017, sometime in the first part of 2017, we will complete the Mega Cutter. Well, this is in a summary what I would like to give as comments on the sheets. And Martijn, I think we will give the floor now to you to ask us any questions you may have.
Thank you, Hans, for that. And indeed, with that, operator, I'd like to open the call for questions from the participants.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, that's star and one on your telephone if you wish to ask a question. If you wish to cancel your request, you can press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question today, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. You appear to have no questions at this time. Please continue. Oh, sorry, I do beg your pardon. One question has just come through. It's from the line of Torgar Seventi from Precoa. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Moa from Precoa. Sorry, I seem to have some telephone problems. First of all, I just want to say thank you very much for hosting the call and congratulations on the good set of results. I had two questions, of which the first one was just you've done quite a few transactions, and I was wondering if you think that the current market environment is bringing up a lot of transactions, and if so, if that's changed your perspective on what kind of transactions you'd like to do, and if you see more of them happening this coming year.
One question, or you want to put both at the same time, Moa?
The second question is just about the reclassification for Fugro. I was just wondering if that was a purely accounting issue or if it is a sign of a change in strategy for your holding.
Okay, well, to start with the last one, Moa, no, I think as we have stated from the beginning, for us this is a strategic stake. This is not just a financial investment to make a quick gain in the stock market. Accounting rules, as long as you're under 20%, make you classify this still as a financial instrument. Once you go through the 20%, the assumption in the accounting rules that it is indeed a strategic investment, and therefore make you to classify it as an associated company. And as I just said, that is the way we look at it, as an associated company, as a strategic investment. So finally now, by having gone through the 20% and now come up to just under 30%, we are able under IFRS to classify it as such. So it doesn't say anything about our perspective. Our perspective has been from the beginning that this is a strategic investment. But now it is aligned with the accounting rules.
Thank you very much for that confirmation.
Okay, then the first question. Yeah, I think that, as I mentioned, I mean, things are rather tough in particular oil and gas. So we see companies getting into difficulties. We see prices of certain assets that have come down. So we think that it may very well be possible that we will see opportunities arising for let's say either asset acquisitions or smaller bolt-on acquisitions, and Yeah, we have as I mentioned before, a rock solid balance sheet, which we value highly now. I mean, A, because of the effect that we like, as you know from us, a solid balance sheet in the type of activities that we are working in. But secondly, because now we think we may come across good opportunities where we can use that the balance sheet to do acquisitions at attractive price levels. Now, that being said, I mean, we have a rock-solid balance sheet. We don't feel any pressure to spend that money uncritically. So then if you ask the question, will you get to the right opportunities, we'll have to see. We can't time that, but we think that it is a market that may very well be creating opportunities for us, and that's a better time to do acquisitions or acquire assets. And we did a transaction quite recently, very small one, two small types of vessels, but actually we're now in the right situation. You can buy them at really a fraction of the price levels of just two or three years ago. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. And once again, thank you for hosting the call.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Marwa.
Thank you very much. You have no further questions at this time. As a final reminder, it's star and one on your telephone if you did wish to ask a question today.
Okay, while people have the opportunity to put in another question, just wanted to come back. You know, we've also published the annual report following the full year numbers. That's available on the website for you. If you have any difficulty finding it, drop me a line, but I think it's under IR. It's one of the first downloads there. Operator, any other questions?
No, sir, you have no further questions. Please continue.
Okay. Well, I think just looking around the table here, as far as we're concerned, you know, if there are no further questions, thank you all for taking the time and effort to dial in. We will be forwarding the replay details in the course of tomorrow. We're all available. If you have any other questions following the call, reach out to us and we'll be happy to get back to you. And otherwise, you know, look forward to having our next call probably in following the half year numbers, unless something extraordinary happens, but I have no reason to see that happening. And operator, if there are no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. No, no further questions.
Okay. With that, thank you very much, and good afternoon to everyone, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you, everyone, for participating. You may now disconnect.